Good Erev Pesach, everyone. Today's daf and kedushin is Membeis. Thank Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is only Zechin Shmas Liba Gabriel Bashmuel. We begin with Mem Alpha Membeis. We're in the middle of the Gemara's question. Shlichus Minolan. How do I know that there's such a concept of shlichus? So as we learned in yesterday's Gemara, the Gemara presents to us three separate sources in terms of how we know about shlichus. One source in the Gemara gives us yesterday, at the bottom of Mem Alpha Membeis. Yesterday, obviously, we started the second parak of the Masechta. So the one source comes from Gerushin. The Torah uses the word vishilach. So we know that the shlichus applies by gerushin. How do we know that it applies by kedushin as well? So the gerushin and kedushin are 1A and 1B. Kedushin obviously before gerushin, but in other words, but they're in the same pasuk. The Torah is makish the two together. So that's one source. The second source we learned yesterday was truma. The pasuk says by truma atem gam atem. Well, that's not the pasuk, but the word gam. The gam is a ribuy. It's an inclusionary term and includes shlichus as well. The Gemara actually has a third source. A third source by carbon pesach. Carbon pesach. The entire kahal. We know that the entire kahal is not shechting the carbon pesach. Various members of the Jewish people are shechting, but certainly not everybody. Not everyone shechting. So how is somebody shechting on my behalf? The answer is going to be shlichus. So we have three sources yesterday that told us the principle of shlichus. The Gemara noted in the end of yesterday's daf that really we could take truma out of the discussion, because really we have a mematzina. We're going to make a binyanav using gerushin and using kachim. And everything can be derived from those two, because whatever one lacks, the other has, and we have the tzad hashava shebehem, the common denominator between the two. And so the Gemara acknowledges yesterday that really two of the three sources is all you need. If that's true, then what do I need the source of truma of atem gam atem, the ribui of gam? So the Gemara acknowledges yesterday that that's telling me a separate halacha altogether. I might have thought, I would have thought that I could appoint a non-Jew to be a shliach, and why not? A non-Jew who owns land in Eretz Yisrael. So you put a couple of shittas together. We did this yesterday. You put a couple of shittas together, and the non-Jew is going to not only have produce that has kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but he himself could take off truma, and the truma is going to have a validity to it. So therefore, he's in the parsha of truma. So if he's in the parsha of truma, so I might have thought that I could appoint him a shliach. So kamash malan, we learned yesterday at the end of yesterday's daf that that's the atem gam atem. That in order to serve as a shliach, so you have to be in a You have to be a Ben Bris. You have to be a Jew.
You can't. Are you double dipping the word gam if you're using that?
No, in other words, we don't need it. We don't need it for shlichus. The Gemara said yesterday, well, shlichus will come out through a mematzino of kachim and gerushim. We don't need it by true. We don't need it. So therefore, once we don't need it, so there it can come and teach us that halacha. That is what we saw up until yesterday. We're on the very bottom of Mem Alpha Mem Beis, and we're going to pick it up right where we left off. So the it's like about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Ula Rabbi Shimon. Ula Rabbi Shimon de Pata. Now, this entire process of excluding the non-Jew from Truma is only assuming that he's in the Parsha. However, as we're going to about to see, there are Shitos, there are Tanayim, Rav Shimon specifically, who's of the opinion that a non-Jew is not in the Parsha of Truma. Did not, the Gemara here presents to us the Mishnah, Truma Sovi Kochavim, Mida Ma'as Vechayiv and Alav Chomesh. If I have truma of a non-Jew, so it creates dimua, meaning a mixture of it and non-truma food is going to create the mixture of what's called dimua. Dimua, if the ratio is anything less than 1 to 100, one part truma, 100 part non-truma, chulin, so then that mixture is going to have the status of dimua, meaning the truma is not batal, and it has to be eaten by kohanim. Okay, and also chumash. The halach of chumash is that in the event that somebody eats the truma b'shogeg, so you have to reimburse the kohen not only the principle of what you ate, but you also have to add on another 25%. So these halachas, according to the Tanakhama of this Mishnah, these halachas apply even to truma b'nanju. And Rabbi Shimon Poter. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's Poter. It's in other words, there is no Truma of a non-Jew. It does not have the status of Truma. So once again, now we're going to be asking the same question that we asked at the end of yesterday's shir, the beginning of this morning's shir. And that is, according to Rabbi Shimon, now what do I need? Atem gam atem. The non-Jew is totally mufka from the whole parsha of Truma. And so therefore, I never would have entertained the idea that you could ask a non-Jew to take off Truma for you. He's not not in the parsha at all. So what do I need the atem gam atem? So atem gam atem lamali. So that's the Gemara's question. So what is the necessity of it? And it's not for shlichus because, as we ended off yesterday's daf learning, for shlichus I already have two sources, one being gerushin, the other being kachim. So now, once again, I don't need it. So once I don't need it, so now what is the purpose? What's the need of atem gam atem? So it's the so the Gemara says no, there's still going to be a need for it because hakadat chamin. I might have thought hol v'amamar atem v'lo arisen. Now we have the following: the Torah, when stipulating that one has to take off truma, the Torah uses the word atem, and we're going to see the Gemara darshaning again and again. It's got to be you, and there cannot be a stand-in for you. So let's say you're a sharecropper, he can't take off your truma. Atem lo shutfim. Let's say you have a partner, your partner can't take off truma for you. Atem v'lo apotropos. Let's say you have an administrator, he can't take off truma for you. Atem v'lo hatar mishen shalom. Somebody, I can't take off truma for something that doesn't belong to me. Now, this last line is so obvious, meaning if people who have shaychus, an aris, a sharecropper, an apotropos, a partner, if they can't take off truma, certainly an outsider, a third party, can't take off truma as well. It could very well be that this last statement over here is just kind of a summary statement. Anyway, what do we get from all this? Atem, it's got to be you. Meaning you have to be the one taking off truma. So hey, atem v'lo shulchachem. So I might have thought now, here we go. So now I would have had a havamina, a very good havamina, that I can't even appoint a shliach. Meaning the Torah is clearly makbid on this idea that you, to the exclusion of everybody else, have to take off truma. And you can't even appoint a shliach to take off truma. And that's the need of the atem gam atem. So, I'm sorry, shulchachem. Nami kamash malan. That's why the Torah is coming to teach me the atem gam atem. All right. So where do we stand right now? Shlichus. We know the concept of shlichus. We have three different sources. What's the need of the third source? The Gemara just spent a couple of lines dealing with. But we have this idea regarding shlichus, and we have our sources regarding shlichus. Ha nicha l'Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Now, this platform that we just created, in terms of the sources of how we know about shlichus, is all going to work out well according to Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Ela Rabbi Yonasan, demapik la l'haikra, l'drasha achrina menalan. But according to Rabbi Yonasan, who takes the pasuk regarding the Karban Pesach, uses it for another drasha altogether. So according to Rabbi Yonasan, now I have lost the platform of my sources for shlichus. And so according to Rabbi Yonasan, where the source of shlichus is going to come from? So first of all, let's learn together what Rabbi Yonasan does with that pasuk regarding Karban Pesach. Detanya, we learned in a brace, Rabbi Yonasan, Omer Minayin Shekol Yisrael Kulan Yotzin VePesach Echad. Let's say the entire Jewish people en masse is going to bring one Karban Pesach. Now, you don't have to be a party planner to know that that's not going to be enough food for everybody. Okay, one animal, one Karban Pesach for everybody, it's not sufficient. Right? God willing, when we have the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to be eating Karban Pesach, so we have to eat a kezias. Every one of us has to eat a kezias of Karban Pesach. So one Karban Pesach is not going to be enough for everybody. So Rashi over here points out in the very top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, you have to say that according to Rabbi Yonasan, and Rashi says it. I'll read the Rashi on the top of the Amud. On Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the very top Rashi, Alpha Pisha Embo Kezias Achol Echad, even though not everyone's going to have a kezias. Most people won't even get a whiff of the Karban Pesach, let alone eat a kezias. So, obviously, Rav Yonasan is of the opinion that the eating of the Karban Pesach is not ma'akev. It won't withhold the mitzvah. The mitzvah will still be fulfilled. El zrikas dam l'chuda. All you need, according to Rav Yonasan, is zrikas dam. Now, it's not a sheet. We don't hold like this. In other words, in order to be yotzi with Karban Pesach, you have to eat Karban Pesach, you have to eat kezias Karban Pesach, but we're right now learning the Gemara, and this is sheetas Rav Yonasan.
There's another principle with Karban Pesach that you're supposed to eat until you don't sove. So you could argue that you could eat on everything else and just eat just less than because I and you become sove based on that.
Yeah, I mean, the halach is. I mean, again, we're you have to eat a kezias. So anyway, but Rav Yonasan holds that you don't. In other words, that's not ma'akev. So now, if that's true, so shenemar and shenemar, and how does he know that? Top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, v'shachtu aso kol kahal adas Yisrael, and you're going to shecht it, meaning the Karban Pesach, the entire Jewish people, bein Harabayim in the afternoon, meaning it's getting late, but if the Beis HaMikdash is built between now and tonight, so we're all going to be offering the Karban Pesach this afternoon. So v'shachtu, so kol kol adas yisrael bein Harabayim. V'chi kol ha-kahal kulam shochtim, v'alo eino shochet ela echad. Now, the entire congregation isn't shechting, only one of them is going to be shechting. So let me count, shekol yisrael, yotzim be-pesach echad. So that means then that basically the entire Jewish people could be yotzim with one Karban Pesach. Okay, now, we have this pasuk according to Rav Yonasan generating a totally separate halacha, which is the idea that one Karban Pesach certainly doesn't sound like the best way to do it, but one Karban Pesach can work for the entire Jewish people. So that's what Rav Yonasan does with this pasuk. And now that this pasuk is dedicated to this drasha, so now we go back to where are our sources for shlichus. Because previously we had three sources, and admittedly we don't need the one by Truma, but we had the three sources, one of them being Kachim and the other one being Gerishin. But according to Rav Yonasan now, I lost my source from Kachim. So now what do I do? So shlichus be Kachim minalan. So minale. So the Gemara says, so where do I get it from? So the Gemara gives a one-word answer, and that is mine. What do you mean? Okay, it's true that according to Rav Yonasan, we learn a special halacha. But let's think about the special halacha we just learned. The special halacha we learned according to Rav Yonasan is that you could bring one Karban Pesach and that'll work for the entire Jewish people. So now, isn't that going to be enough evidence and proof that shlichus works? Because how do you think the rest of the Jewish people fulfill their mitzvah? Obviously by appointing a shliach for that one Karban Pesach to be brought. So the Gemara says, V'dama shani ha'asam di'aslei shlifos be'gavayu. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's still not a great proof. It's not going to be a good source. Because if that's one Karban Pesach for the entire Jewish people, so that means that everybody has a share in that Karban Pesach. Albeit, the share is going to be really, really small. You're taking one animal and you are dividing it amongst the entire Jewish people. Admittedly, the shares in the animal are going to be microscopic. But still, the point is that maybe shlichus is going to work, but only when it's shlichus coupled with a partnership. What we want to know is the source in the Torah where I can ask somebody who I'm not partners with, who I don't have a partnership with, how do I know that shlichus works? So if this is my entire source, it really limits the application of shlichus, because all I know from this source is that shlichus works only when there's a partnership. Ela mehacha. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, basically for the next Amud of Gemara, we're looking now for sources of shlichus, admittedly, where now we lost this pasuk, and now we have to look elsewhere for the concept of shlichus. Ela mehacha v'yichulem selaveis avos se labais. So the Gemara once again turns its attention to Parshas Bo. Right, we'll be reading this tomorrow morning. So each one takes celibates of oselabayas. Now, Vidilma Asam Nami Dislishvas Begavayu. So the Gemara says, now again, that's a great source because basically you see one sheep per household. Now, if it's one sheep per household, so once again you get the idea that each member of the household is fulfilling their obligation through shlichus. But again, the Gemara acknowledges it's not a great source. Because once again, there, every member of the household has a partnership in the animal. So again, all we've arrived at is this idea that yes, shlichus works, but only in the context of a partnership. I want to know, the source that we're looking for is, where do we know shlichus works, even if you and I are not partners with one another? So, but the Gemara says, imkein trei kra lamali. So the Gemara says, you're right, but think about what we just saw. One pasuk v'shachtu also called Kaladas Yisrael. A second pasuk of Ichulem Ish Selaveis Avos Labais. So that's two psukim to teach us the same point. So the Gemara says that in the world of methodology, the Torah doesn't have to give us two psukim. Im eino inyan la'echad l'shayach, teneu inyan la'echad l'shayach. So the Gemara uses the methodology of im eino inyan, meaning the second pasuk, it's doing nothing more than repeating what was taught in the first pasuk. Obviously, the Torah is not superfluous. The Torah is just not repeating. So therefore, the Torah is, in the second pasuk is generating an additional halacha, which is shlichus will work even if there is no partnership in that shlichus. The Gemara says, "I'm Ibai Lelechad Rabbi Yitzchak." The Gemara says, "Again, I'm not satisfied because that pasuk you just quoted is teaching me another halacha, specifically the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak ish zocha v'lo hakatan zocha." So the Gemara says the halacha is that an ish is going to be zocha, but not a katan. What does that mean? Rashi ish zocha la'olam mishum deis beishutfus begavayo. We're going to go back to the idea that really there is a partnership in this sheep that was designated for the family. And v'dekamar imeno enyan, so inyan who lo. So the Gemara says now, as far as the point that we made, it's a superfluous point. So as Rashi points out over here, it's not a superfluous point. Deitzrich lo lemute katan shein lo koach likach bishvul acherim liozoch lem b'mekchal. Let's say the person who's taking the sheep is a minor. It's not going to work. Why not? Because a minor can't be zocha on behalf of other people. So the Gemara says that's what's being generated from that pasuk. So once again now, we no longer have a source for shlichus. So the Gemara says, "Ahu mi ish lefi achlo nafka." So the Gemara says, no, the fact that a minor can't be zocha, we already have a pasuk for that. Ish lefi achlo. Each man to the exclusion of minor, each man according to what he's able to eat. So that teaches us that a man can be zocha, not a minor. So the Gemara says, well, no, I need that pasuk to teach me another halacha. The halacha is that I cannot take one shakar pesach and shecht it for one individual. So I need that pasuk to teach me that I can take one shakar pesach and shecht it for one individual. This is kind of like the polar opposite of where we started this morning. We started this morning with the idea of taking one shakar pesach on behalf of the entire Jewish people, even though you know not everyone's going to get a kazayis. Here, the other end of the halacha is, what about one animal per person? Okay, that person is obviously going to have to. He's got a lot of grilling to do that night and a lot of eating to do that night. That person's going to be very busy. But the Gemara's point over here is that pasuk is coming to teach me that a carbon pesach can be shechted even for one individual. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, in order to make all this work, we're going to assume it is an assumption. We're going to assume that he's of the opinion that one individual cannot shecht one carbon pesach. So therefore, the pasuk is not generating that halacha, and therefore that pasuk is left is allowed to teach us that a minor cannot be zocha, freeing the other pasuk now to teach me the source for shlichus. Okay, so what do we have right now? It was a little complicated, admittedly, but basically now the Gemara is crossing its T's, dotting its I's, basically finding a source of shlichus for everybody, even for those people who have other drush, even for Tanaim, who have other drushas that are learned from the various psukim. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we have a source for shlichus. We have gerushin, we have kachim, and again, truma, which kind of fits in the middle. We have sources for shlichus. The Gemara says, but consider the following. The Gemara quotes a statement in the name of Rav that goes as follows. How do I know about shlichus? Shenemar, v'nasiecha, nasiecha mimateh. So the Torah tells us at the end of Sefer Bamidbar that in terms of the division of the land of Israel, so you're going to have the nasi, the leader of every shevet, who's going to be the one responsible for dividing the land. Now that becomes the source of shlichus, meaning he is acting on behalf of. So basically, he's an agent. And so the Gemara says, and that's the source of shlichus. So typically, shlichus me'acha. So the Gemara says, okay, and there you have it, and that's your source. Meaning, basically, what the Gemara is bothered by is, we've gone through a daf of Gemara, starting on Mem Alpha Mad Aleph, going now to where we are in the middle of Mem Beis Mad Aleph. We spent a daf of Gemara looking for sources in terms of Shlichus. And the Gemara created a model in which we know it from Gerushin, Kedushin, Truma, Kachim. And meanwhile, out of left field, Rav says, I have it. I have the source of Shlichus that comes from the division of the land of Israel.
Why wouldn't you use it just a kalachomer if you could use it for? So you could say if you could use it for kachim, just use it for also.
The problem is the Gemara pointed out yesterday. By kachim, you could do b'machshava. By gerushin, you can't do by machshava. So in other words, the binyanav only works for those things that, which it can set precedent for. So, but if it can't set precedent, so then it's not going to work. So the Gemara says, "V'tizbara da shlichus hu v'haktanim la b'nei shlichus ninu." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but that is not teaching us about shlichus." Well, the reason why it's not teaching us about shlichus is because included in the division of the land of Israel are going to be minors, meaning upon entrance into the land of Israel, there are going to be kids who are going to be receiving an allocation of land. And, as we know, it's a basic tenet by shlichus, and that is a minor cannot appoint a shliach. Can't. And so, therefore, if a minor can't appoint a shliach, so then, how does that division work? It can't work through shlichus, because you have minors there. Eliki hadar av baravuna, damar av baravuna, amarav, gidal amarav, minayin shezochla adam shalom befanim. So the Gemara says, okay, so that is not operating through the principles of shlichus. It can't, because there are minors that are involved. That's operating through the principle of zechiyah. And the Gemara says, we know the principle of zochla adam shalom befanim. I can create a zechus for somebody, even without his knowledge. Shenamar v'nasi echad, nasi echad. So the Gemara says, so it's not shlichus, but rather Zechia, leading to a discussion which I'll just simply I'll point it out, I'll raise. I won't do any depth on it. And that is, it sounds like from our Gemara that Zechia and Shlichus are two separate concepts. In other words, because the Gemara says we're not learning Shlichus from there, we're learning Zechia over there. Zach la'adam shalom b'fanav. So it sounds like from the Gemara, the fact that the Gemara rejects Shlichus and moves on to Zechia certainly sounds from the Gemara that they are two separate concepts. Gemaras elsewhere seem to indicate otherwise. Okay, I raised it as an issue, something to think about. Let's go on in the Gemara. V'tizbara zechusi ha'chov v'nami ika dika d'nichale bahar v'lo nichale bebika v'ika d'nichale bebika v'lo nichale bahar. To which the Gemara says, but wait 1 second. The allocation of land is not zechus, meaning obviously getting land is good, but now we're talking about getting land and location. Now, we know that when it comes to real estate, location is a major component to real estate. So location. So now, I'm going to be apportioned of land specifically there. I'm pointing to a random place on the map, but specifically there. Okay, but I didn't want there. I wanted there. That's beachfront. I want beachfront. No, I don't like the beach. In other words, every time you're giving me a land, you're also telling me what I can't have. So that's not zachin. Zachin is, as we've discussed time and again throughout the Gemara, where it's pure zechus. And there's no chova component to it whatsoever. So the Gemara says, when we're talking about the allocation of land to the settlers of Eretz Yisrael, to the inheritors of Eretz Yisrael, so that's not zechus, that's zechus plus chova. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ella k'derava baravuna da amarava baravuna amarav gidol amarav minayin liyisomim." So the Gemara now is going to say the following: same basic idea that the Nesiim, the leaders of the Jewish people, are going to allocate the land of Israel to its constituent base. However, it's not going to be through shlichus because it's minors. It's not going to be through zechia, because zechiyah has to be pure zechus. It's going to be based on a third principle, which the Gemara is about to introduce. The Gemara says it's based on the statement of Rav Gidol, Amarav, Minayin liyisomim shebaal lachlok minichse avim, shebeisim ma'aminim la'am apotropos, lachov, ulezakos. So the Gemara says, how do I know? What is the source at? If let's say you have an orphan, and the orphans now are dividing the estate of their father. So how do I know that Beis Din has the right responsibility to set up an apotropos, a custodian, a trustee, whatever the better English term is to use over here. So to basically advocate on behalf of their respective orphan. So how do I know this? Now the wording is ma'amidam lam apotropos lachov ulazakos, to create liability and to create benefit. Now wait 1 second. The Gemara says, can we just pause for just a moment? To create liability, I don't want an apotropos to create liability for me. Like what? Like what's that? So the Gemara says, lachov amai ela lachov amanas zakos. The Gemara says, yes, to create liability in order to create benefit for me, meaning that it's a negotiation, right? I'm going to get this, but I'm not going to get that. In other words, so yes, there's going to be good and there's going to be bad. So tamalomar v'nasiyachah nasiyachah mimati tikachu. So the Gemara says that's what we're learning from the nasi allocating the land. The nasi allocating the land is serving and is working as an apotropos. An apotropos is a third category. So basically what the Gemara introduced us to are three separate categories. Progressively, the Gemara thought that the way to summarize the Gemara is very simple. by what right does the Nasi have to divide the land of Israel amongst its constituency in its respective shevet? So, Gemara first thought, Shlichus, the Gemara says, no, we're going to reject that, because, and the constituency base, you have minors, and they can't set up a Shliach. Gemara option two, Zechiah, Zachan La'adam Shlo B'fanav, that's also not going to work, because the only way Zachan works is only when it's pure Zechus, with no Chova whatsoever. So that's not going to work. And finally, the Gemara introduces us to the third possibility, which the Gemara seems to have settled on, and that's apotropos, the concept of basically a custodian. I don't know the best English word for it, but an apotropos. A guardian,
executor.
Okay, I'm saying we're gonna, or, you know, and I don't know enough of the English language to, even though it's my first language, but I don't know enough about the English language to know which one's the most appropriate one to use. But yes, I'll just simply say apotropos. An apotropos to basically serve as a let's say executor to divide the Okay, again, you're right. I get stuck on the English. So to divide the land, and the Gemara says, and that's the source of it. Okay, Adkan, and basically that takes us to the end of the sugya, and basically now to the question of from where do I know in the Torah that shlichus works? So it's there's a long answer, there's a short answer. The long answer is go over the last daf of Gemara. That's a long answer. The short answer is that it's based on a series of sources in the Torah, one by Kachem. Even the short answer is not short. Okay. We have our sources for shlichus. As long as the Gemara raised the topic of apotropos, the Gemara just has a couple of end notes on this topic of apotropos. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Continuing in the Gemara, quoting in the name of Shmuel, Yisamah Shabbat Lachlok, Menech Zeyavim, Beisdei Ma'amin Olam Apotropos, Uvar Olam Chelek Yafa, V'im Igdil Lo Yicholon Limchos. This is something, this should sound familiar. We did this back in Gittin. We're doing it again now in Kiddushin. And that is, after the Apotropos went ahead and acted on behalf of their orphans that they're representing, so then later in life the orphans can come to Beis Din and they can basically say, our administrators did for us a terrible job. I cannot believe that it was what kind of, and then you know, a couple of adjectives, administrator did you give me? Like that, that's crazy. Look what he did for me. And according to Rav Nachman, quoting Shmuel, according to Shmuel, said over by Rav Nachman, Shmuel says, fine, they could reopen the case. To which Rav Nachman didei amar im igdilu einam yicholan lemchos. So Rav Nachman says, of course they can't reopen the case. That's crazy. Because if the orphans later in life are able to reopen this case, so basically you have stripped Beis Din of its power. Because Beis Din was the one who set up the administrator. They were the one who set up the apotropos. So now, if later point in time, you could just basically say, I want to appeal. I don't like what Beis Din did for me. Let's appeal. So if you do that, so Beis Din no longer has power, no longer has authority, and you're stripping Beis Din of its power. And so Rav Nachman himself disagrees with Shmuel and says, no, Beis Din appointed the apotropos, therefore what the apotropos says is good.
So is he saying that in any case you could never appeal at the Beis Din?
Right, right. The extension of this halacha, I'm unclear about. Meaning, certainly,
because maybe there is a system for
absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. So, in this case, and maybe the limit, maybe it's just limited to this discussion. Although, as you'll see in just a moment, there are other applications of this principle. In fact, the Gemara goes right into it. So the Gemara says, "Nimke makoch beis niyafa umi isle l'Rav Nachman nimke makoch beis niyafa." The Gemara says, "Now wait 1 second." Rav Nachman, does he really subscribe to this idea, to this concept of Atanan? The Gemara here goes over a Mishnah that we saw some time ago back in Ksivos. And the Mishnah reads like this, Shema Dayanem, Shepisko Shusus, Osir Shusus. Let's say that the Beis Din had to make an appraisal. Okay, a number of circumstances why that would be. The Rashi over here gives a simple example where, let's say, there's a lover, there's a mava, the lender and borrower, and the borrower defaults on a loan. And now the lender goes to Beis Din. The lender says to the Beis Din, okay, borrower's not paying. And basically, I want to seize property. I want to seize assets. And Beis Din says, fine, of course you're entitled. But first, let's make an appraisal. And so Beis Din commissions an appraisal to be done. So now this appraisal, let's say, was off the mark. It was simply wrong. So the Mishnah tells us, Shema Dayanim, if the appraisal that was done by Beis Din, Shepichsu Shesus or Asir Shesus, let's say it's above or less than 1/6. Now that number is the number, the fraction in terms of the negation, the voiding of a sale. We know the halacha is what's called ona'a. The halacha of ona'a says that if I sell you something that is well over market value or well under market value, so then the sale is going to be a voided sale. What is considered well over? What's considered well under? 1/6. Anything over or under 1/6 of its market value. Now, we'll get to that in just a moment. Perfect insertion, Danny. We'll get to that in just a second. But nevertheless, the halacha is that will void a sale. If Beis Din now is setting up an appraisal and their appraisers were just simply incompetent, they didn't do a good job, and the appraisal went either over or under 1/6, so machran batal. So the mechir is going to be batal. The sale is just simply not a sale. Meaning that even though, of course, the lender had every right to seize property, but only that commensurate to the value of the loan. Not above, not below. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer machran kayam, imke makoch beis niyafeh. And to that, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the Mishnah says, no, even though the appraisal was off, and even though there was a level of incompetency, but nevertheless, we're going to suffer the wrong appraisal because we don't want to strip Beis Din of their power. So right or wrong, they're Beis Din. And so according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so we're going to have to abide by the ruling of Beis Din and even the appraisal of Beis Din, even though it was wrong. And on this Mishnah, the Amar Rav Huna, I skipped the parentheses. And here's the critical part, where the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Nachman, right? Highlight Rav Nachman, that the halacha falls like the Chachamim. That, A, incorrect appraisal, incorrect meaning over 6 or under 6, an incorrect appraisal is just going to simply be retracted. It's going to be voided. And we're going to have to go over, we're going to have to do this again because the appraisal was wrong. And so, again, just wait 1 second. Yes, but just wait 1 second. So the Gemara says, so what do we see over here? That Rav Nachman does not subscribe to this idea of Makoch Beis Din Yafeh. Meaning, we're not just going to simply give carte blanche Beis Din. Look, right or wrong, you're Beis Din. Yes, it's important to listen to you, but not when you're wrong. And clearly, Rav Nachman over here says, "Look, when Beis Din's wrong, Beis Din's wrong, and it's going to be voided, and we're gonna have to do this again." So you see over here in this case that according to Rav Nachman, we do open up a case again in the event that Beis Din is wrong. And so basically now what the Gemara is bothered by is, how do I resolve Rav Nachman against Rav Nachman? Previously, when we talked about the apportioning of an estate amongst the orphans, so Rav Nachman says, you know what, the apotropos were appointed by Beis Din, good, done, finished. And we're not reopening the case because Makoch Beis Din Yafeh. You're stripping Beis Din of its power. And here, meanwhile, in terms of an incorrect appraisal that's done by Beis Din, Rav Nachman says, oh, they did it incorrectly, let's do it again. Okay, so we have what's called a problem. Lo kasha, the Gemara says, but the resolution is, and it's pretty intuitive, and you probably thought of this already, ha-de-tau, ha-de-lo-tau. The Gemara says, you have to make a distinction between a gross error, a simple mistake, versus a judgment call. Meaning, in the case of Shem HaDayanim, in the appraisal where the appraisers were just simply wrong. So they're wrong. And we're gonna appeal. Not only we're gonna appeal, but Beis Din's gonna do it again because they were wrong. So the Gemara says so. In that scenario, so yes, of course we're gonna do it. But in terms of an allocation of property, right? Everyone got equal value. Everyone got equal shares. You're bothered by the fact that your apotropos gave you now instead of that land. Okay, that's a judgment call. And on judgment calls, so everyone got fair value. There was nothing. There's no right or wrong. It's just simply, it wasn't the land I would have chosen. So there, Rav Nachman's going to tell you, you know what? based and set up the apotropos, makoch based in yafe. That's going to stick. So the Gemara says, hadatal delotal. Idolotal, maichon limchos. So the Gemara says, now if there was no mistake made in the case of the allocation of the estate, so then what are we even appealing? But the Gemara says, yichon limchos beruchos. What we're appealing is, I cannot believe you gave me the east side of dad's estate. I wanted the west side of dad's estate for whatever reason. It's interesting, if you take a look at Rashi over here, there actually is, even in the scenario, from Rashi, what it sounds like, is even if there's a really good reason why I should have gotten the other side of the estate. You look at Rashi, it's the second Rashi, top line of the Amud. Rashi writes, Baruchos, Mi shenaf alo chelik bedarum omer nochli chelik bedstafon, shahaisal Hashem sadas muchala shenaf alo mi'imo. You know, I can't believe you gave me the south. You should have given me the north. And anyway, I had an adjacent land right next to there. So my apotropos, again with adjectives in the front, my apotropos, can you believe he gave me the south when meanwhile, it's of course would have been better for north, for the northland, because that would have been contiguous to my other property. And even then, certainly sounds like from the Rashi, even then, that's still under this category of what's called a judgment call, and that's not going to be appealed, and that's not going to be opened up again. Okay, that's all right. Let's continue in the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, another statement by Rav Nachman. Yes, we're a little bit off the topic of shlichus. We're going to come back to shlichus in just a moment. So ha'achin shechak ha'arein kelukuchos. If you have the brothers dividing a state, they are like lukuchos. It's like a transaction. Meaning, this is an age-old discussion that we've had time and again throughout the Gemara, and that is that when you're dividing an estate, are you considered like basically negotiating each one for a portion? But in other words, I don't have a set portion that's given to me, and basically we're bartering. Here, you'll take that, I'll take this, you'll take that, I'll take this. And through a negotiation, we're considered like lukuchos. And like we learned earlier, in other words, in one area halacha where this becomes significant is yovel. Meaning, if we're considered like lukuchos, if we're considered like we're bartering one for another, so what happens in the yovel year? Everything goes back to its original owner. Meaning the estate gets, once again, unified, and then redistributed after yovel. Right, and exactly how that works, it's its own separate discussion. Anyway, the Gemara over here is focusing on a different aspect, and that's the following. Pachos mishisus nikna mekach, yes, ashisus batal mekach, shisus kane umachzir ona. So the Gemara says, so now, considering the fact that we're bartering with one another, so basically, because we're bartering with one another, because this is transaction, negotiation, so therefore, we fall under the category of ona. Which means, if I'm not getting fair value, if I'm getting anything that is above or below a six, so therefore, voided, and we got to go back to the drawing board. If it's less than a six, so then, okay, obviously not great, all of us should be getting equal value, but less than a six, okay. And if it's at a six, if it's exactly at a six, so then the sale is valid. In this case, sale/allocation is valid, and the only question is just reimbursement. And if it's exactly a six, so then there's going to be a reimbursement for that six. Now, Amar Rava had Amar Pachos Mishus Nikne Mekach Lo Amar Nela Delo Shavishliach. Ava Shavishliach Amar Letaknune Shedartich Velo Lavu Say. So the Gemara says, now one second, we're not changing the halacha. We're just simply, it's a proviso. We're just simply modifying this idea where, if nets, let's say we're allocating properties of an estate, and I get a little bit less or a little bit more. As long as it's under a six, so we said that we're gonna operate the rules of Ona, which is fine. It's not great, but fine, acceptable. Meaning the allocation is valid. However, if let's say I don't do the division myself, but a shlich does it on my behalf. Once a shlich does it on my behalf, so then if I'm not getting fair value, equal value, so then I can contest it even for any amount that is above or below equal value. Why? This idea of l'tkune shedartich v'lo lavuse. Because when I send a shliach, I am charging him to do one thing and one thing only for me, and that is do good by me. Meaning if at any point in time he gets anything less than fair value, so at that point in time he wasn't my shliach. He's only my shliach to do good for me. Now, that's proviso number one of Rava. The Hadam on Yosef Mishusus Batamekach Lamar Nel Delamar Niflagim Beshuma. The Beidina, Ava Amar Niflag Bishuma, the Beidina, Machran Kayam. So the Gemara says, now in terms of a six, where we said it's gonna be voided, that's only if we don't subject ourselves to a based in appraisal. But once we subject ourselves to a based in appraisal, so then the sale is gonna be a valid sale. Did not Shuma Dayana Shapiskus Chusus, Osir Shusus, Machran Bato, Shimon Gamliel, Amar, Machran Kayam. Because the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, which is that once we allow Basin to make the appraisal, so their appraisal is going to be accepted, at least according to the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, which the Gemara here is assuming is the halacha. And finally, now when we say that if the amount that was overcharged or undercharged was exactly a sixth, what do we say? The sale is going to be valid, but a reimbursement of the difference. The Gemara says that's only when it comes to metatlan. Ava b'mekarke ein ona'a l'karkas. But the Gemara over here says a rule, which it says a couple of times. Here's one of the sources in the Gemara, where when it comes to property, there simply is no ona'a when it comes to property. So what is this idea of there's no ona'a by karka? So the Rishonim debate exactly to what degree we say there's no ona'a by karka. Now we know, right, even if we're not in the business of real estate, but we're all fans and we're all following, so we know that the fluctuation of property is tremendous. And we also know that that even when a property is, let's say, appraised for a certain amount, some people are simply going to want to overpay for a property for whatever reasons. So in other words, when it comes to property, there simply is no concept of ona. Some Rishonim say that that's an absolute, meaning doesn't matter how much you are asking and how much somebody's willing to pay, the sale is always going to be valid by karka. Some are of the opinion, however, that there is a cap. Even when the Gemara says there's no ona, the Gemara doesn't mean that there's just simply no ona, period. The Gemara does have this idea that there's some cap on property. Okay, again, not citing sources, just a general idea. Uva makarke lo amar nala dapalag bi ilave. The avapalag bimashchasa lo. The Gemara says one last thing to take into consideration by ona, and that is that when we say that there's no ona when it comes to property, we're talking about the appraised value of the property. But if we're talking about the linear measurement of property, obviously there's going to be ona. Meaning if I'm expecting that the house is going to have 2,500 square feet of interior space, and the house turns out to have less than that, so then there's going to be ona. That's absolutely correct. That's exactly the point of the Gemara. Kedarava damarava, kol davar shebimida v'mishamishkol shebimingin afil pachus mechtei ona'a nami chozer. The Gemara says if it's anything which is measurable, either linear measurement or volume or weight, anything that is measurable, quantifiable, is subject to not only ona'a, but even if it's less than the 1/6, it's still going to be retractable. V'hadanan, okay, I'm sorry. Now we could put a big period over there in the Gemara, and that is the Gemara sidestep for just a moment, discussing issues of ona, because we got onto the topic of makoch based in Yafa, and we got onto the topic of makoch based in Yafa because we introduced ourselves to the concept of apotropos. Okay. But that was all kind of like that was a tangent in the Gemara, and we return now back to Shlichus. What have we learned together? That Shlichus is a concept that works. And now with that stated, so this brings us to the very big topic of today, and that is the following. V'hadinan, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah, Shlichus Abir B'yad Cherishot V'katan Pater. If I send a fire in the hands of either Cherishot V'katan, anyone who does not have Das, and they light the house on fire, somebody else's house on fire, creating damages. So then they're going to be Pater Medina Adam. Sorry, I apologize. I am going to be Pater Medina Adam v'chay b'dinei shamayim. Meaning, in terms of the courts, the legal court system, so I can't be taken to court because I'm not the one who did anything. Although, obviously, I created a scenario in which damage was done. Certainly, you can't call me innocent, but at the same time, just in terms of the legalities of it, is that I'm not the one who actually did the damage, and therefore I'm not going to be subject to any type of Beis Din punishment. However, the Gemara says, but in terms of Shamayim, so after 120 years, so you're going to have to answer for that. However, Shilach bi'ad pikeach. Now, but let's say I send the fire in the hands of a pikeach, somebody who has his wits about him, and he is the one now who does the fire. So pikeach chayev. So the Gemara says the pikeach is going to be chayev even though he's acting as my shliach. Okay, so the United States government had such a terrible problem with this when it came time to trying to convict the mafia, because the way the mafia worked is that the heads didn't do anything; they just simply asked, you know, the lowers to do things, and they themselves didn't commit any crime, and it created a problem, because how you can convict somebody when they didn't do anything? And the Gemara basically over here says, yeah, you're right. That the conviction can only be done by the one who actually does a crime. But the Gemara says, "V'amai name shluchus adam kamoso." The Gemara says, "Now why don't we have the principle of shlichus over there, especially when I actually ask him to be my shliach and he's acting as my shliach? So why don't we use the principle shluchus adam kamoso?" So the Gemara to that, the Gemara's answer is, "Shani hasam." Well, it's different over there. Dein shlichus dvar vera. So here we go now with a big principle of today, and that is that there is no shliach when it comes to an avera. The amrina divrei rav, divrei tam, divrei mishamim. The Gemara over here introduces a svara, a logical argument why ein shlich dvar avera. Because imagine, let's say the Rebbe tells you to do something. Let's say the Talmud tells you to do something. Let's say the Rebbe and the Talmud are not in agreement about what you should be doing. So who should you be listening to? Should you be listening to the Rebbe, or should you be listening to the Talmud? Just in the event that you don't know the right answer, you should be listening to the Rebbe. You should not be listening to the Talmud. So the Gemara says over here, so let's see. So the Torah tells you not to damage somebody else's property. And somebody comes over with a torch and says, you know what, go light his house on fire. It's a great idea. So who should I be listening to? Should I be listening to the Rav, or should I be listening to the Talmud? Obviously, I should be listening to the Rav. In this case, the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I shouldn't be listening to the Talmud. So in other words, ain't shlich l'dvar avera, for the very simple reason, because you shouldn't be listening to somebody who's telling you to do something that's going against the Torah. So the Gemara over here presents it as a logical argument. The Haditanya, to which the Gemara now is going to note, there are notable exceptions to this idea. Sometimes in halacha, there will be shlichus even though it relates to an avera. So here we're going to introduce ourselves to the notable exceptions. V'aditanya, shlich shalosa shlichuso shlich ma'al. Also shlichuso balabais ma'al. If let's say something belongs to Hekdesh, and I ask somebody to misappropriate the item for me, whatever. I ask him to do it as a shliach of mine. So, bal habayis mal, as long as the shliach did exactly what he was supposed to do, so then the avera is going to transfer over to the mishaleach, to the sender. Ki also shlichuso de bal habayis mia mal. So the Gemara says that as long as the shliach did exactly as instructed, so then the bal habayis is going to be in violation of the isser of mi'ila, misappropriation of temple funds. My name ain't shlech l'dvar avera. So the Gemara says, so why don't we say the principle of ain't shlech l'dvar avera? Shani mi'ila di'alfa chei mi'truma, ma'truma ma'shri shlech, af mi'ila ma'shri shlech. So the Gemara says, this is an exception, it's based on a gzera shava. So the Gemara says, nail of mina. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? Instead of calling an exception, why don't we call it a precedent? Meaning, okay, so what do we have? We have a single case in the Torah that tells us that if I ask somebody to be mole on my behalf, so the avera transfers over to me. So now, can't this set the binyan av and tell me that in all cases the avera transfers over to the mishaleach? So the Gemara says, no, mishim davim me'ilav v'shlichus yad, shnei ksuv m'bayim keach v'chol shnei ksuv m'bayim keach ad eim alamden. So the Gemara says, yes, but we have a second place in the Torah where the avera is going to transfer over to the mishaleach. So let's quickly run through it, and we'll pause for today. So the Gemara says, eim alamden, I'm sorry, me'ilah hadamara. Now, as far as me'ilah, so we already cited the Mishnah and the gzera shava. Shlichus yad ma'i detanya, kol davar pesh. Beishamai is of the opinion that if I'm entrusted with a pikadon and I have a machshava, that I'm thinking about misappropriating the pikadon that was left by me, so according to Beishamai, I'm going to be liable. Beisil Omrim Einu Chayev Ashi Shalach Lebo Yad. And Beisil says, no, you're not going to be chayev on a machshava. You're going to be chayev only when, not even, only when you actually misappropriate the pekudin that was entrusted by you. Shenemar im lo shalach yado v'chulei. Amar Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel v'alo nemar al kol davar pesha. Now Beis Shammai says is the Beis Hillel al kol davar pesha. Now the word davar Beis Shammai is learning not only means matter, but in this case means dibor, just simple speech, meaning a manifestation of a person's thought. Amar lam Beis Hillel Beis Shammai v'alo nemar im lo shalach yado b'melachas re'eu. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, you have a pasuk, I have a pasuk. My pasuk teaches me that im lo shalach yado b'melachas re'eu. Only when I take an item that was entrusted by me and I, without permission, you make usage of the item, then I'm going to be liable for the item. Amar Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel, im kein al kol davar pesha l'amali. So then Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, what do you do without kol davar pesha? Sheyachol ein li ala ha. I might have thought that the liability comes about when me, the custodian, is the one who misappropriates. But I'm a lahavdo l'shlucha minayin. But what if I ask somebody else to misappropriate it for me, or just I instruct somebody else to do it? Tamalamra called over pesha. So now it comes out a called over pesha. That's the chiddush over here. That even if I'm not the one who misappropriates, but even if I instruct somebody else to misappropriate, I'm the one who is going to be liable, even though I'm not the one who did it. So therefore, what we have is shnei ksuvim habayim ke'echad. We have now two sources in the Torah that tells us that by an avera, it will transfer over to the mashleach. One is going to be shlichus yad, second is going to be me'ila, and so therefore, no longer is the precedent, but rather the exception to the rule. Let's quickly summarize. Okay. Understood. This will be an exceptional, according to Beis Shammai, it'll be an exceptional rule. Okay, let's quickly summarize. Okay, so again, the sources of Shlichus, the Gemara wrapped it up according to all Shitos, and basically found sources for Shlichus for all areas of Halacha. Kachim, Truma, Gerishin, Kiddushin. What do we learn? What about the allocation of the of Eretz Yisrael to the members of the Shvatim? That's done by the Nasi. So how is he acting? So in succession, the Gemara says, not as a shliach, because there are minors involved, not as a zechiah, because it's not pure zechus, but it's through the concept of apotropos. As long as the Gemara brought up apotropos, so a couple of things. Number one, can we appeal the, if an apotropos is dividing a stake, can we appeal it later? Machlok is between Shmuel and Rav Nachman. Halacha like Rav Nachman, you cannot appeal. If the apotropos makes mistakes in terms of appraisal, so then if the court makes a mistake in terms of appraisal, machlokas amongst the Tanaim, whether or not that could be retracted or not. Gemara sounds like at the end cannot be retracted. If, let's say, now allocation is done through a shliach, so can the rules of Onah are going to be even more delicate, even more fine, because when I'm sending a shlich, I only want him to do good for me, not bad for me. And the principle of Ein Onah LaKarkos, that there's no Onah when it comes to property. Okay, some basic ideas. And then finally, the second half of today's daf is dedicated. We start the topic today, we're going to continue tomorrow, of this idea of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Avera. That although there is a concept of shlich, but it doesn't apply by an Avera. By an Avera, the one who does the Avera, even though he was instructed to do it, even though he's acting as quote-unquote a proxy of somebody else, if he's the one doing the Avera, he's going to get punished, and not the Mishalech, not the one who sends it. The two notable exceptions to that rule, so far we learned in today's daf, is the Isser of Me'ila and the Isser of Shlichus Yad by Pikadon, where there the Mishalech is going to be the one liable. But those are Shnei Ksuvim Bayim Ke'echad, and therefore Ein Malamdin.